Donald Fagen has been around the block a few times. Top 40 singles, hit albums, radio airplay, and playing the major record label game in the 70s with Steely Dan. A solo record in the early 80s, and then a period where it seemed like he went off the grid, and suddenly you didn't hear too much about Donald Fagen. Fast forward to the 90s, here comes Steely Dan again. Now, whether it's with Steely Dan, with Boz Scaggs, and Michael McDonald in the Dukes of September, or as a solo artist, Donald Fagen is darn near everywhere. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer's new album is entitled Sunken Condos, 9 catchy songs, as well-crafted as anything he's ever done, and it is without doubt the funkiest record ever to contain references to both the Castle Bravo H-bomb test and making a 7-10 split.
Well, thanks very much.
And it also has an Isaac Hayes cover to boot. How can you lose? Donald Fagen, welcome to the roundtable.
Hey, thank you.
So it sounds to me like you had a great deal of fun making Sunken Condos. Is that
an illusion? It's true. True that. I started doing the album with my friend and colleague Michael Lenhardt, who's been in the Steely Dan band for many years. He's a trumpet player, but also a producer, and he plays a bunch of keyboards, and he did some engineering, and yeah, we did have a lot of fun.
Is the title a reference to the housing bubble, or is it just being flipped?
Well, yes, but it also, I thought it worked on different levels. It's kind of, I think it's represents this sort of economic situation. Plus, I think it also works as a kind of symbol of maybe the phase of life I'm in now, and with maybe accepting some lower expectations, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you went, now let's see, 11, 12 years between your first solo record and your second one, and then you went 13 between your second and your third, 20 years between Steely Dan records, but since 2000, we have two classic Steely Dan records, two great solo albums. Are you trying to beat the Grim Reaper here?
Maybe, or else it's, just better drugs. not sure,
Back in the day, we all wondered, when we were listening to your records with our COS Pro 4AA headphones and sitting on our couches, we always wondered,
yeah,
is Steely Dan ever going to tour again? You guys packed it in the mid-70s, and now, since the 90s, you've been road warriors and so many great tours. Again, what precipitated this change? Was it technology? Was it your budget?
You know, in the 70s, when we finally got a band together, we'd always been looking for musicians who we could groove with, essentially, and we had a hard time when we first got started. We finally got a job out in California at ABC Dunhill Records as staff writers, but we had this other book of songs that we knew needed a band as a vehicle, so we got a band together quite quickly, and they were very energetic. They gave their all, but we always wanted thought we needed a more versatile bunch of guys, and so we started using studio musicians, and we went out on the road. But, these guys because we got together so quickly, I think we didn't quite groove together the way we wanted to. So Walter and I decided we'd concentrate on recording at that time. But, come the 90s, we felt we wanted to get out there and shake a tail feather a little. So we got a band together, and the current band, I think, is the best band we've ever had.
The music played, you walk by candlelight. Those San Francisco nights were the best in town. Just by chance, you crossed the diamond with the pearl. You turned it on the world. That's when you turned the world around.
Did you feel like Jesus?
Did you realize that you were a child?
We're speaking with Donald Fagen, whose new album is entitled Sunken Condos. We had John Harrington on the show a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah, great.
And I asked him, I said, you know, what's the deal with Steely Dan? He said, you know, the band is always the last to know. Presumably, yeah. You'll be the first to know. Is there anything on the horizon?
I think that's just because we don't plan ahead very far. We're not ever sure exactly what we're going to do because, you know, we're just kind of rambling guys, you know. I feel bad about that, that the band's the last to know. That also might have to do with strange management situation, but they're good, but they're kind of loopy.
Now, were you and Walter Becker surprised that Steely Dan got the album of the year with the comeback album, Two Against Nature?
We were surprised, especially since that year, in 2001, Eminem was a big favorite for this album he had out at the time, and so we were surprised that we won. In fact, when at the end of the show, you know, you go backstage and there's all these journalists and so on, and we went back there and, you know, there was like really no applause or anything like that. We just were standing. We actually felt guilty for winning because there was poor Eminem, you know, all expecting to get his big award, and we didn't really care that much about awards. So, you know, I almost felt like giving him the Grammy.
You got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah, actually, it was the same year. Yeah, that was nice too. You know, the truth is, although it's nice to be appreciated by your peers, you know, I think Walter and I are both kind of old hippies from the '60s, and so I don't want to know the truth. We don't give it that much weight.
Well, your last solo record, Morph the Cat, was an interesting record, and now it has been repackaged, I noticed, as the last part of a trilogy. Now, when you started with the Nightfly, 81, or whatever you did that record, did you foresee a trilogy, or did it just happen?
No, but when I, a few years later, when I did Comicariat, I realized it was a continuation. It was sort of the next phase of life I was in, and the same went for Morph the Cat. You know, went through a few more years and had something else to say, and it was basically a kind of more or less autobiographical group of albums. So, I felt it was a good idea to package it as a trilogy.
One of the cool things about Steely Dan, for me, was always the kind of oblique lyrics and figuring out what they mean. And Morph the Cat, as I read them, and I could be way off, but it seems like you have a couple of really nice post 9/11 songs.
Absolutely. That was written in the wake of 9/11, and there was a kind of depressive cast about that album, actually, but you got to write what have to be honest. I think that if there's anything that Walter and I really are proud of is that we try to be honest, and we address aging and the decrepit physical condition as you get older and things like that. And I think when 9/11 happened, you know, that was really my state of mind. So that's what happened, you know.
Well, there's the funny one. There's Security Joan.
Well, yeah, there's always some humor there.
And if I'm reading it right, Night Belongs to Mona is all about a woman traumatized by 9/11.
Absolutely. It's about a woman in a kind of a high-rise apartment who really just can't get over it, really. And she finally, as they say, takes a Brody out the window.
Yeah.
Mona's become she's had it up to here with light while the city sleeps. That's when she comes alive. Yes, the night belongs to Mona. When she's dancing all alone, 40
speaking with Donald Fagen, whose new record is Sunken Condos.
Are you conscious of how much of the outside world you let into your songs and songwriting?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think actually part of the tension in the lyrics has to do with interior world versus exterior world. And there's something, I think, although maybe some of our my partner and I, the songs we started with may be more obviously surrealistic, but I think surrealism in the sense of the unconscious breaking through the sort of surface reality is still there, and it's the idea of the, you know, your interior world kind of busting through surface reality, and I think in a sense that kind of what I think of as surrealism is still part of what I do.
Frank Zappa once famously described Steely Dan as downer surrealism. Was that a compliment or a shot?
That's a good question, although I could easily describe his music the same way, so I'd like to think of it as a compliment.
Okay. Well, Sunken Condos, for me, has kind of a new feel, kind of a next phase feel to it.
And oh, thank you.
I got to ask you about Miss Marlene, which a couple of my kids called just the bowling song.
It is a bowling song, yeah.
Do you bowl?
I used to bowl. My father used to take me bowling, and I remember really enjoying it. I haven't bowled for many years. When I was writing the song, I went down to Bowmore Lanes in downtown in Manhattan and took a look at the place because I wanted to set the song there. But I haven't actually bowled for many years. My road crew loves to bowl on the road. They like to take a bowling day every tour.
So I can't ask you what your average is. You wouldn't know.
No, that's way in the past for me. I was no good, though, I'll tell you right now. My father was quite good. In fact, he belonged to a bowling league and had a little bag with his ball in it. He used to go up to the bowling league and all that stuff.
Sometimes on a league night, I catch a sense again.
Talking with Donald Fagen, who has a new album out. It's called Sunken Condos. So another one that we can't stop listening to in the Graff household is Memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that I mentioned in the intro that references Castle Bravo, the H-bomb
mm-hmm.
test. Now, is all this in your head, or is there actually a woman who collects this stuff?
No, actually, I made up that story. It's a fiction, but my wife used to be friendly with a sculptor who actually had some renown. I don't remember I can't recall his name right now, but who used to actually scavenge around Los Alamos for trashed nuclear waste, like old pipes and stuff like that, old centrifuges, and used to make sculptures out of them. And it came into mind of this young girl who was like maybe an artist and who was looking for old nuclear waste, and that there would be a guy named Louis DeKine who used to deal in it, and that she would go to his shop and look at the stuff, you know, because, you know, I was a Cold War kid and I was trying to, convey the fact that this stuff is still with me, all this like paranoia and sort of nuclear fear that I grew up with, you know?
Well, I mean, the Nightfly sort of starts in that phase, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an evolved version of that, I think. When I mentioned that there was an island once in the song, and that's actually based on an actual incident where during some of the bikini tests in the 50s, there was an island called Alugalab, which the mega tonnage was a little bigger than they thought, or the explosion was a little more powerful than they thought, and it actually disintegrated the whole island.
Have you seen the memorabilia? Rusty old memorabilia. Souvenirs, perfect doom. You
Have you seen the memorabilia? That's the old memorabilia. Souvenirs, a perfect doom. In the back of Louis the Kahn's back room. In a room right off the kitchen, there's an old gas centrifuge. Color film of Castle Bravo. Girl, you know that shot was huge. There's a crate full of lead line pipes. A photo of laughing Navy types on the island. East of the Carolina.
You guys, at least as far as I can see, take a very cynical and detached view from politics. But do you say
actually, I think there's I don't think we're that cynical. I think there's definitely a political aspect to what we do. I think it's subtle, and it may come up even in songs about relationships and so on. But I definitely think it's there in the because I think there's always a relationship between. Say sex and politics and the way people relate to each other and politics.
Here comes my own Trina. Levy comes upon. There's an ocean of misery flooding my heart. They may fix the weather in the wild, just like Mr. Gore said. But tell me, what's to be done? The weather in my head.
We're speaking with Donald Fagen, whose new record is Sunken Condos. You've only covered a couple of songs, one or two solo and an Ellington song, of all things, with Steely Dan. But you cover Isaac Hayes on the new record, Sunken
right.
Condos, Out of the Ghetto. Great groove, but how did you settle on that song?
You know, I'm also in this band called the Dukes of September with Michael McDonald and Boz Scaggs, and I was doing research, you're trying to find some of these moldy oldies that we love to play, and so I discovered, I'd never actually heard the song Out of the Ghetto by Isaac Hayes, and I sort of zeroed in on the word ghetto and realized that most people, you know, for decades have associated it only with the inner city, African-American ghetto and so on, and I realized that the original meaning of it may be getting lost, so I wanted to reclaim it for the Jews, like the Warsaw ghetto, so we added a little klezmer arrangement. You know, it's like Mila Kunis can be like ghetto fabulous.
I took you out of ghetto. I took you out of ghetto. I took you out of ghetto.
What's next for you?
You know, I don't think that far ahead. I think, you know, I'm still like a hippie from the 60s, basically, and I just can't think that far ahead. I think probably this summer my partner and I will go out again to Steely Dan, but, you know, I'm just, like, I just got back from Japan with the Dukes, and, you know, I just have to kind of settle into it and decide what I'm going to do next.
It would be hard for me to even ask this question because you laid off from touring with Steely Dan so long, but now you've done so many tours. Do you ever find yourself, oh, God, I got to play Reeling in the Years again?
Well, you know what we do is we have several arrangements of Reeling in the Years.
Yes.
We have a kind of a jazzy arrangement. We try to juice it up and make it interesting for the band to play. Lately, though, we've been doing something very close to the original arrangement. For some reason, that's been the band loves to play it, and the audience likes it, so that's what we've been doing lately. But we'll come up with some other way of doing it and eventually.
Well, the new Donald Fagen album, Sunken Condos, is really something to behold. It's in your local record store right now, if you can find an actual record store. There are a few around. And Donald Fagen, a real honor to talk to you. And if you're in the Northeast with Steely Dan next summer, we'll see you.
All right. Well, I actually have a house up in that area. I'm going to, not far from where you are, and I hear your station all the time. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Yep, Donald Fagen, great record, Sunken Condos. Thanks for being on the round tip.
Thank you.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is going to last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the year?